by way of introduction, Fox News reported just a few months ago, title, Iowa Court Rules Boss Can Fire Employee He Considers an, quote, irresistible attraction. So the article is about a dentist who fired a woman who worked in his dental office, and she sued for discrimination, claiming that he terminated her because she was female. So it went to the Iowa Supreme Court. And this article says as follows, a dentist acted legally when he fired an assistant that he found attractive simply because he and his wife viewed the woman as a threat to their marriage. The court ruled 7-0. It was all male, the court. It actually was. The article points that out in the first line. The court ruled 7-0 that bosses can fire employees they see as an, quote, irresistible attraction, even if the employees have not engaged in flirtatious behavior or otherwise done anything wrong. Some firings may be unfair, but they are not unlawful discrimination. The motive is not discrimination because she's female. The motive was this dentist wanted to save his marriage. So the article continues, Melissa Nelson, who was 32 years old, worked for Dr. James Knight for 10 years. The facts are important. 10 years they worked together, and he considered her a stellar worker. But in the final months of her employment, he complained that her tight-fitting clothing was distracting. Both of them are married. Both of them have children. Nelson, the female, 32 years old. How did it start a relationship? It started by their exchanging text messages, mostly about personal matters, such as their families. The doctor's wife also worked in the dental office. She found out about the messages and demanded that that Nelson be fired, that her husband, the dentist, fire the assistant. The Knights, that's the dentist and his wife, consulted with their pastor, who agreed that terminating Nelson was appropriate. Nelson was stunned. That's the assistant, 32-year-old assistant, worked there 10 years. Why was she stunned that she got fired? She viewed the 53-year-old Knight, that's the dentist, as a father figure and had never been interested in starting a relationship. There's some interesting things about this story. Number one, 10 years she was working for him, and then it seemed to get a little bit serious, at least from his side. The article doesn't say, but what was going on in the first 10 years? Any ideas? Any thoughts on that? I have some thoughts. Anyone else have any thoughts? Was he interested or maybe not? Probably was the whole time. 10 years.
Well, his wife there probably keep as a buffer.
So we have that concept in the halachas of yichud also. If your wife is there, then there's not a problem of yichud with another female. Interesting. Interesting parallel. So maybe his wife kept him in check. She didn't know about it until she's probably found the text messages. Well, what's the other option? During those 10 years. The other option is that he wasn't interested, but only over time did he become interested.
The relationship with his wife deteriorated.
Very good. That could be either he became interested in her, or as a result of a poor relationship with his wife, he became interested. So that's one interesting thing. What happened in those 10 years? Number two that I found interesting is, how did it start between the two of them after 10 years? Technology. Text messaging. Starts with the small things. And then it develops. It's not like you go after 10 years and you go 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. V'hameh v'nyavin. A couple of other interesting things that we can cull from this prior 10 years what happened, despite that his wife was there also, is also the age difference between them. He was significantly older than she. She's 32, he's 53. She viewed him as a father figure. Nonetheless, that didn't keep him from being interested. So that's by way of introduction to a topic that I am very passionate about. That wasn't pun not intended. Is how to deal with women, and conversely, if we were speaking with women, how to deal with men in the workplace. I feel that this is one of the, if not the largest challenges in the workplace, is how to stay away from them, how to conduct oneself properly without violating the dictates of halacha. Whether one is married or single, there are important halachas that we have that will dictate how we act and distance ourselves from them to avoid any problems. We'll talk about two sugyas. We're just starting one today. This is by way of introduction, but we will talk about the halachic side of the two sugyas, Mir Tashem, after Pesach. One is yichud in the workplace, how to not be secluded, or what are the issues and the halachas of being secluded with a woman or women in the workplace, and how to avoid violating the isra of yichud. That's number one. Number two is handshaking with women. What if a woman extends her hands? Are you permitted to reciprocate, to not embarrass her, to not lose the job, whatever it is? Or are we prohibited to reciprocate an extended hand, a handshake that was initiated from a woman? So those are two important sugyas that we'll talk about. There are other topics also. For example, addressing women by their first names, other similar items like that. That's not something that we've taught in the past, but we can see if we'll get into that also. If you look at the sources, we actually have a very important source and a very educational source indeed in the Chumash from the first person that had problems with a female while he was at work. Who was that? Potiphar's wife, Yosef. It's directly on. It's a direct hit for us. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through that sugya in the Chumash and see if there are lessons that we can learn from that. So let's look at the psukim. This is Parshas Vayeshev. This talks about Yosef's challenge in the workplace. What was the problem that he was confronted with, as is known? Potiphar's wife was interested in him. And the pasuk says, it's pasuk Zayin, Bracious Lamed Tes pasuk Zayin, by Hi Acharat Dvarim Eile. We're going to go through the psukim because we're going to learn a lot from the psukim. Vaytisa Eishes Adona Veseineha. So Potiphar's wife saw Yosef. He was very attractive. At Eseinel Yosef Atomer Shichva Imi. She was pretty direct. Let's go to bed together. Shichva Imi. Lie with me. Pasuk Ches, Vayimayen. He refused, absolutely not. Not going to do it. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes, I'm not going to do it. Your husband put me in charge of everything. I've got the keys to the car, I've got the keys to the house. He doesn't even know what's going on here. There's one thing that is excluded, is his wife, and I'm not going to get involved in that. So Yosef gives a detailed explanation why it's not right. Potiphar trusted him with everything else, not her. And at the end of Pasuk Tes, as if a side point, it says, V'chatasi l'elokim. In addition, not only would I be sinning against your husband, I'd be sinning against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's his explanation why I can't do it. So did she give up or did she continue?
Continued.
Harassed him. Continued. Pasuk Yud. Vahiki dabra el Yosef yom yom. Every single day, she would gnawing at him. Come on. Vahiki dabra. She spoke with him, trying to convince him day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. V'lo shama eleha. And he refused. He didn't listen to her enticements. V'lo shama eleha. And the pasuk yud lishkav etzla. What's that language, Lishkav Etzla? In the beginning, when she said, I'm interested in you, she says what? End of Pasuk Zayin, she says, Shichva Imi. Let's do the act together. But here she's saying, Lishkav Etzla. Not Imi, with me, but Etzla, by me. A little bit different. What's going on here? Lihiyosima, in addition, to be with her. We have to explain what's going on. And initially she was saying, Shichva Imi. And now she's saying, lie by me, be with me. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Vahi kayom azeh. Happened one day. Vayavo abaisa. He comes to Potiphar's house. Lasos melachto. That was his workplace. He's coming to work. He ran the house. Ve'ein ishman se abayis sham babayis. And nobody was there except her. What is this smack of? Yichud. Yichud, no one's around. But what did she do? She grabbed the opportunity. Pasuk Yud Bey says she grabbed his clothing, and now she goes back to the language in Pasuk Zayin where it started, Shichvayimi. Let's do it. Now's our opportunity. So what did Yosef do? Vayazob bigdo biyada. He left his clothing with her. He says, I got to get out of here. This is a problem of Yichud. Vayetze achusa. And he took off. He went outside to avoid the problem. So we have some questions on this. Listed them out. There are many questions on this, but I chose four. Number one was, what's going on here in Pasuk Zayin that she says, Shichva imi, and then she changes her tone a little bit and says, okay, that's not working. Pasuk Yod says, Lishka vetzla, lie by me. Lios ima, to be with me. Different language. What's going on? And then she goes back in Pasuk Yud Beis to where she started from, Shichva imi. It's question number one. Everyone with me? Good question? Kevin, good question? Dan, good question? Good question. Next. Number two. Did Yosef have any culpability for what happened? She was the one hitting on him. He was deflecting it. But does he have any responsibility? This was going on for a year. Or is he purely innocent? Question number two. Question number three that we're not going to get to today, and four we won't get to today. Number three is, how many reasons did Yosef give her for saying no? I can't do this to your husband. I can't do it to God. It's a sin. And number four, why did Yosef not say to her, you can't do this. You're cheating on your husband. It was simply, I can't do that to your husband. I can't do this to God. But why did he never say, how can you do such a thing? Good questions? Good question. I think they're good questions. Okay. So what's going on here? Let's try to unpack this. The Seichel Tov in source number two answers, at least in part, our first question. What's going on that she first says, Shichva Imi, let's do the act, and then she seems to say something else. So he says in source number two, Vaidaber ki dibra al Yosef yom yom, kilomar b'chol yom v'yom v'lo shama eleha. Every day she was enticing him and he didn't listen. What was she trying to convince him to do? L'shamesh ima, to do the act, number one. That's what Pasuk Zayin is. She was very direct. Come on, let's do it. And then she changes her tune a little bit when she wasn't being successful. Okay, let's start a little bit slower. Vafilu lishka v'etzla. Shchiva b'lo tashmis. Let's just lie down together. That's it. It'll be innocent. And he said no to that also. And she continues, Vafilu lios b'yichud b'lo shkiva. Okay, let's just be secluded together. Let's not even lie down together. Let's just be secluded together. Nothing's going to happen. It's all innocent. And he still refused. The Ibn Ezra, on this third prong, when it says, Liosima, to be with her, he says that wasn't talking about Yichud. He says, she even said, speak to me. Lidaber sichos. Have real conversations with me. And even that, Yosef refused to do. So what happened then? He's saying, no. Staying away from her, no yichud, not having conversations with her. So the Rashbam explains, source number four, Nizar aya afilu liyisyached ima. He didn't even want to have yichud with this lady. Ad she'ira maisa, something happened. Out of his control, out of Yosef's control. Ad she'ira maisa shenisha yichidi. He was left alone, bal korcho, against his will. Lasos meleches torchei abayis kedarko. He was left, he had to do his work. That's his workplace. That's his office. He has to go to work. He's on salary. The era ba'osa yom shalal notar ish babayis. No one was left inside the house. So what happens? So the Kli Akar says that the conversation starting at Pasuk Zayin was, she says, let's do the act. He says, no. And then she says, okay, let's do something else, more innocent. Just lie together. He says, no. She says, what's the big deal? Nothing's going to happen. It's daytime. What's going to happen in the day? He says, no. That's why the Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud says, Vayikidabra al Yosef yom yom. If you look at the Pasukim, she says, day, day. That was her response. What's going to happen if we just lie together? It's the daytime. Nothing's going to happen. You're in the workplace. Nothing's going to happen. And why does it say it twice? Because she says, okay, if you don't want to lie by me, at least you have Yichud with me. He says, no. She says, but it's the daytime. That's why Yom Yom was responding to two variables. Lishka Vetzla, just lie by me, have Yichud with me. And in both of them, she was trying to convince, it's the day, it's the day. What's the big deal? So what really happened? Source number 6 says the Kli Akar. Vahi kayom hazeh, was like any other day. Bitzumo shel yom, but it was during the daytime. Yosef comes in thinking nothing's going to happen during the day. She told me, I don't play games during the day. We don't do those type of things during the day. So he comes in, it's during the day at the workplace. Nothing's going to happen. And nonetheless, as soon as there was yichud together between Potiphar's wife and Yosef, she acted upon the opportunity and took advantage of the opportunity. Rav Shimshon Mefor Hirsch says Yosef was responsible also. He says at the end of source number 7, Asul Adam Lahamin Ba'atzmo. This is going on a year. Yosef knew she was hitting on him. Yosef knew she was interested. It's prohibited for someone to have amuna in himself, to believe that you are impervious to these activities. To think that you are oblivious, you are able to withstand these temptations without putting on a siag, without putting on a fence in protecting yourself. That's our topic. Workplace issues, unfortunately, this comes up more than each of us would want to know. And we are not only talking about non-observant and non-Jews. Unfortunately, if the correct protections are not in place, it does happen indeed to the Orthodox, to the Frum, and the Ultra Frum as well. Yes, we have a question.
It seems like he did have safeguards. Like he was there in the day, and there were other people there. And when there weren't safeguards, he left when he realized.
But as soon he was there, and he's working, the day that no one was there, he should have left immediately, before anything happened. He should have left. Or the other thing is, if you know that that woman is around attacking you, it's time to leave the job. That's what Rav Shimshon Mefor Hirsch is saying. He shouldn't be somech on himself. You know a woman is, and you can imagine she was attractive. And even if she wasn't attractive, and this is what I would say in this dental office situation, sometimes, initially, she's not attractive. But over time, something happens. I have a... somebody I work with, he hired a secretary, an assistant, and at the beginning, she wasn't attractive to him. I remember, he made a comment. 2 years later, when he's sleeping with her and his wife found out, and they got divorced with 2 kids, what happened in the interim? Somebody who's not attractive at the beginning, over time, can become attractive. That could very well be what happened in the dental office. Okay, I want to go through some statistics that I found online, infidelity statistics. It's just a bunch of stats that were collected by somebody about infidelity. They conflict. The statistics conflict. It doesn't bring the sources, the Makoros, the Rashi and Tosfos, how they got these, but we'll see in a little bit, it won't be important. Says as in the introduction, it's tough to get a handle on how many of us are having affairs given the inherent secrecy. How exactly do you take a poll asking people in the workplace, are you cheating on your wife? Most people are not going to be honest about it. Very few people that are not having affairs are going to say they are having affairs. And there will be a number of people who are having affairs that will say they're not having affairs. So if anything, typically the statistics will be underreported. So at the beginning of this whole list, it says 22% of married men have strayed at least once during their married lives. 22%, one-fifth. Women, it says 14%. This is talking about married. In other words, singles would be higher. Younger people are more likely candidates. In fact, younger women are as likely as younger men to be unfaithful. There's a conflicting statistic at the end here. It says conservative infidelity statistics estimate that 60% of men and 40% of women will have an extramarital affair. At the end it says women is increasing. As more and more women are entering the workforce, the 40% is going up, likely towards 60%. Which statistic is correct? 22% and 14%, or 60% and 40%? I once told somebody these statistics and he got upset. How can you quote statistics without having a basis? It doesn't matter which one is right, whether it's 22% or 60%, they're both bad. So both a problem, a big issue. And it's likely somewhere in between. So my next question then is, how does this happen to somebody? Married, has kids, or single, from, goes to Daf Yomi in the morning, davens with the minyan three times a day. What's the rationalization that something happens and they say, okay, no big deal, I'm going to have this relationship? What happens? Any ideas out there?
What was the question, sorry?
I have some ideas. Why would somebody do such a thing? What would they rationalize it, knowing that they're doing something wrong?
Well, I mean, they could be doing it knowing that they're doing something wrong, just doing it anyway.
But what the rationalization is?
No one's going to find out.
No one's going to find out. Number one, absolutely, number one is always, because if somebody thought somebody's going to find out, that's likely a deal killer. No one's going to know. How is anyone going to find out about this? She's not going to tell. I'm not going to tell. No one's going to find out. So I think in the vast majority, if not every person who cheats on his wife, first thing that they're thinking is, who's going to know? Number one. I want to make a list of this. I need a pen. Anyone have a pen that I can borrow? I need a chalkboard here. Thank you. Okay, number one, nobody's going to know. Number two.
Maybe if they're from, then maybe they can sort of try and schmuckle their lovers a little bit to justify what they're doing.
Justification. Give me one.
Let's say, for example, men used to be able to have multiple wives.
Ah, very good. So this isn't such a big deal. So based on the halacha, halachas are also okay with this.
A man can say it's not halachically adultery.
Okay, good. Nobody will know. Justification based on halacha.
There's the kavat one. We didn't learn the halacha, so we're not obligated.
I didn't know.
So it's ignorance.
Ignorance. I didn't know it was wrong. Well, I didn't know the halacha.
This is a kavat answer.
Okay, good. Next.
A lot going on in my life.
It was just an outlet?
Yeah.
Along those lines, like, what does that mean, a lot going on?
Just undergoing a lot of stress and my emotions got back.
Stress where? Where? Stress at home? Kids? Wife? Going out of his mind? Juggling too many things? Good?
Like we talked about earlier, maybe not needing a fence, thinking that you have belief in yourself that you can withstand a situation, like pushing yourself, like not crossing the line, but getting right next to the line.
And then you go, and the line always gets pushed a little bit more, which is what Potiphar's wife was trying to do. Let's start. All right, if this isn't going to work, let's start with something like this. To me, that's the text messaging.
Right.
Starts with the text messaging, and it goes to the next, it goes to the yichud, and it goes to the this, and it goes to the that.
Like, I can handle this, but then you get in a position where you can't handle it.
The slippery slope.
Right.
Good. All excellence. Anyone else?
You say it like, oh, won't leave anything, it'll just happen just this once or this few times, and it'll be done.
It's like the alcoholic, let me just have one drink. Right, so it's once, what's the big deal?
I can always do tshuva, maybe.
Always, good, that's such good justification. Okay, excellent. I got most of these, but not all these. So if you look on page number 3, I listed out 6. 4 and 5 are pretty similar. Nobody will find out anyway. That's got to be number 1. We didn't learn the halachas of yichud in yeshiva. Didn't know yichud was such a big deal, so I didn't keep with it. Number 3, when growing up, not from, no one said this, but somebody, unfortunately, who cheated on his wife told me this explanation. He says, when I grew up, it was a sign of strength to be able to conquer many women. And he still had that in his mind. Not just one wife, but go after others. That's excitement. I'm glad no one said that. Number 4, my wife is exhausted from the kids, then she's anida. It's always something at home. Number 5, I'm not happy with my, quote, family wife. Issues with the wife. And number 6 is, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? No one said that, I don't think. So I want to go through most of these one by one. When it comes to number 1, no one's going to find out. That, ironically, is the claim that was made by Potiphar's wife to Yosef. The Medrash Tanchuma at the end of source number 8 says, Amra lo. Potiphar's wife says to Yosef, Lama einata shomeli? Why not? Why aren't you listening to me? Why are you refusing? Halo eshes ishani, I'm married. No one's going to ever believe that I cheated on my husband. We're safe. Ein adam yodea banu. No one's going to be able to figure this out. No one's going to even doubt that I cheated. I'm married. She's saying it's even easier with me to cheat. No one's going to find out, she says. So we see that this is in the first example in Tanakh of someone having issues at his workplace. The claim of the woman here, typically be the man, but the claim of the woman was no one's going to find out. And ironically, Rashi says what happens right after this incident of Yosef. We have the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim. We have the two officers of Paro that get thrown in jail. So Rashi explains, why did that happen? Back to back, it was a few years later, but why did that happen right afterwards? Source number 9, Rashi says, Lefishi hir gila osa arura satsadik bifikulam ledaber ba'u gnosa. What happened after the incident? She made Yosef the subject of general gossip. She put it in the newspapers and on the radio what Yosef had purportedly done. Everyone found out about it. So you think, oh, no one, she's the one claiming no one's going to find out about it. And she was the one that disclosed, made up the story, but disclosed it to everyone. So people find out. Over the past number of years, we've seen similar incidents of politicians at the top of the political game thinking no one's going to find out. There was somebody, a president of the United States called President Clinton. And he had an affair with a young lady named Monica Lewinsky. I remember him saying, I did not have with that woman, denying it. No one's going to find out. That's what they thought. Arnold Schwarzenegger with his maid. Arnold Schwarzenegger was married to a Kennedy royalty. And obviously they thought, as it went on for years and years, and he fathered a child, no one's going to find out. So that's a common excuse. Number 2 was, we didn't learn the halachas of yichud in yeshiva. Yes, we did now. We're about to. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that Yosef responded back to her. Source number 11, Amar la hashta pnuyo shelachem asurus lanu. I'm prohibited not only to married women like you, but also unmarried women. Can't do it, it's Aser. So that's number 2. We didn't know. We have justifications. It's Aser. That other claim that it's a sign of getting many women, that claim that the excitement of it, the hashkaf of the Torah, as we know, as we say in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor, Ezehu Gibor, who can complete that for me? HaKovesh Es Yitzro. The way we look at it, at the perspective of Torah, is somebody who is a Gibor, somebody who has strength and courage, who can control his urges. In other words, limit it to the wife. In the workplace, it's not a sign. Anywhere, it's not a sign of being a Gibor to have more women. If anything, it's a sign of weakness. Some of the last claims: my wife is always too busy, my wife is too exhausted from handling the kids, she's always a nida. Having marital issues, that's probably something that somebody should go to a specialist, a professional, to assist with those items. But oftentimes people view that the grass is greener on the other side. You think that people in the workplace, they're nicer, they're not speaking back, they're not difficult, they're not in these moods. As is typical, people bring their best moods to work. You're dealing with strangers and people put on their best sides, and that's not the same side as at home. So people typically think these are nicer people, they're behaved, they're well groomed. Unfortunately, people leave their real selves at home and bring the better side at work. But it's not the case that the grass is greener on the other side. And the Maisa, the claim that it's not a big deal, Yosef addresses for us that it is a big deal. He says, not only will I be sinning to your husband, Potiphar, but he says, v'chatasi lelokim. It's a big aveira. And Rashi explains, one of the great justifications is she's not Jewish, so I can do it. No one said that one. She's not Jewish. What's the big deal? One of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is Arayas also. Rashi there, V'chatasi L'Elokim, we're on page number 4, source 15, says, B'nei Noach nitztavu al Arayas. Non-Jews also have an obligation to not be involved in Arayas promiscuity, so it is usur. It's not that it's okay to do it with the non-Jews, it's prohibited also. And indeed, the Yerushalmi tells us that there are four things that we get punished from in this world and also in the world to come: Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayas, Shfichus Damim, the big three, also Lashon Hara. But the proof for Gilui Arayas, promiscuity, is from Yosef himself. They bring the pasuk Minayin that you get punished in this world and the world to come. How can I do this thing? Yosef says to Potiphar, is right, but I'll be sinning not only to your husband, but also v'chatasi l'elokim. And the Torah Tamima says v'chatasi l'elokim. Why didn't Yosef say I'll be sinning to your husband? That was obvious. But he's saying not only will I get punished by your husband in this world, but I'm also going to be punished by a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world to come. That's v'chatasi l'elokim. Okay, what I want to conclude on this part, because this is all by way of introduction and talking about Yichud, is why things have gotten worse recently over the decades. Why cheating on one's spouse has indeed gotten worse over the past, I don't know exactly how many years, 10, 20, 30 years, and getting worse as opposed to 50, 60 years. Any ideas on that?
Email. Technology.
Technology is part of it, and we'll go in a reverse order. So let me just talk about technology. Is it technology or something else?
Society.
Decadence of society. Yeah, that's probably somewhat related to technology, but not totally. Absolutely.
Religion has become less
important. Good.
Society is more permissive.
For most, society is more permissive. Good. I mean, bad, but good. Good answer. So, I'd like to talk about two variables why this is getting worse, for sure. Number one is there are more women at work due to economics or acceptance of society or whatever it may be. There are indeed more and more women going to work, and obviously, if men are at work, that causes a bigger problem, having women around. So, number one, more women working out of the homes, Being at the offices, being around causes a bigger problem. Going on business trips. Women going on business trips, men going on business trips, being at conventions is a real problem. I unfortunately know of a frum person that fell apart at a convention with at least one other woman. The CEO of the company that he worked at called me and asked me how to deal with it. Because it was at a business trip at a hotel that the problems began there. And number two, as was mentioned, workplace, women at the workplace is number one. The internet found something written, the truth about emotional affairs. We're not only talking about texting, et cetera, but emotional affairs means even if you haven't met the person in person, but if you're having a relationship with them over email, over texting, over the web, even without meeting the person, that is indeed also cheating on one's spouse. This write-up, The Truth About Emotional Affairs by Monica Lewis. Sounded, I think she maybe changed her name, Monica Lewinsky, but it's Monica Lewis. It's not just a harmless romance. A new crisis of infidelity is emerging, in which people who never intended to be unfaithful are unwittingly crossing the line from platonic relationships, friendships, into romantic relationships. That's a quote from the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, and they give some numbers here. The statement is backed up by alarming statistics conducted through a national poll. While the findings show that 15% of married women and 25% of married men have had sexual affairs, it was also revealed that an additional 20% of married couples have been impacted by, quote, emotional infidelity. Traditionally, the workplace has provided the most potential for extramarital affairs. Now, online chat rooms have opened the floodgates for other opportunities to develop romantic entanglements. So it's two issues. Number one, the workplace. And number two, being online. Okay, so Mir Chasem, after Ben Azmanim, we'll talk about the halachic side of Yichud, because undoubtedly the halacha has given us the true solution to staying clean and pure of all these issues. Any questions?
Not as a question, just a statement that I was made aware of a website that actually they were taken to court. They facilitate extramarital affairs. Apparently it's big in America, just arrived in South Africa, that they're advertising, like, why not do it? It's a special chat line and place for people
who want to
have extramarital affairs, and they should, like, it's a platform for them to meet other people who want to do the same.
I guess that falls in with the statements about society going into the toilets.
Shouldn't we also discuss the leniencies of tucking in your tzitzit in a place of work?
Good. We came off talking yarmulkes being a distinguishing figure, and that could be something similar. Tzitzits or dressing differently than people, even though they may not wear a white shirt and black pants or whatever it is, but more of than a proponent in the yeshiva, I don't think that matters that much in the yeshiva, but in the workplace, we have to go the extra effort, not only to act different, but to look different. And I think that's a very good comment. It's a very good comment. We should dress differently. We have a yarmulke on our head. Tzitzis, we have to discuss the halachic issues. Can you put it in? Do you have to have it out? But it's a very, very good comment. Okay, any other questions? Okay, guys, have a great Ben Azmanim, and Amir Tzashem will continue on this after Ben Azmanim.